Well, are we expecting Steve?
I was hoping.
He's the one who's talked to the most so far, and so last we filled each other in, and thought, okay, let's hear from Eric, and you offered to do that, and so that sounded good.
Because Casey raised that.
If he was close, I wanted to, but he may have heard a lot of what you have to share, too.
Yeah, he's kind of heard this. We went out to get coffee, and I told him his story.
Okay.
I mean, there might be a couple of details he doesn't know, but for the most part, he knows everything.
He is all-knowing.
At least he thinks he is.
We did have a good meeting with Shelley and her family. They wanted to come in a week ago and let us know what was happening and what they wanted help with and things, and that was positive and a good thing. And everybody wants to be here, and
hey.
Good morning.
Yeah.
We got a couple people in here.
It's luck.
No.
Yeah, it seemed odd to me that a 50-year-old woman who's not a member of our church would bring her family to meet the elders. But whatever. It just seemed unusual. I thought, now what is that about? Because we've kind of been done with this for over a month. As a small group, as a group of friends, we've kind of made our decisions to, wow. So, here's my notes, unless you have anything else. There is only one person in my life that I've ever blocked her number from my phone, and it's Shelley. Even talking about her makes my blood pressure go up. It's not because I'm angry. I'm anxious. And that's what she does, is cause anxiety in people. There's one person causing all this drama, and there was one person at Camp Neotes this year that caused drama, and it was Shelley. And there's only one person in this play that's causing drama right now, and it's Shelley. We don't want this. We don't want drama. We want peace. We want out. We've decided we're not going to talk to her, and that made it easy because she unfriended all of us on Facebook. So that's when we said, okay, if she doesn't want to be our friend, cool. Social media is stupid anyway. And then she proceeded to make some ominous and threatening remarks on Facebook about her friends, and I thought, man, she makes me nervous. So here's my story. Shelley grew up, she was a kid in youth group when I was a youth minister. I knew her and her friends at Camp Neotes. Thought she was great. Didn't know much about her, but she seemed to be a happy, bright kid. Years go by. A year and a half ago or so, whenever Nathan had a fall retreat for our youth group at Neotes, I was down there helping. Mallory, her daughter, her oldest daughter, was there. She was about to leave, and I was just teasing her like I do with kids, and then she started crying, and I thought, oh no, what did I do? She was upset about her mom, and we stopped and talked for about 30 minutes, and it was my first glimpse into the behind the scenes between Shelley and her kids. And Mallory just said how mean her mom is and how much she yells at her, and I'm like, well, teenage daughter, mothers, what teenager feels great about their parents, right? So I kind of just wrote it off like, eh. Didn't seem to be too dangerous, but it kind of stuck because that's not the image I had seen. Fast forward to our camp this year. Shelley had been coming to our small group. Mindy was coming down. Carrie was coming down. Everybody was excited about camp. She wanted to come down. But her plan was to stay with Nathaniel at the Jones Farm and then drive in every day, which meant about noon, help out with canteen, and then go home. We were like, well, we don't really need that. It tends to disrupt camp more if you're not there. And so Lane told her, we don't really have a bed, which we did not. We were absolutely filled to the max with mattresses. And we don't really have a spot for you. And, you know, we didn't want the back and forth. So the last Lane had heard talking to Shelley at the Borth wedding was that Shelley said, well, I've got a float trip with the family. I'm not going to come down. Cool. Then I see Shelly out at a movie with Nathaniel. We went to see Sound of Freedom. Me and Brad did. We're walking out. They're walking in. Hey, we stop and talk. Good to see you, blah, blah, blah. She said, I'll see you at camp next week. I said, okay. Just called Lane on the way home. Did you invite Shelly to camp? No. No. She hasn't talked to me. I don't. Last we heard, she wasn't coming. Interesting. So we get to camp on Sunday. And Shelly shows up, packed and ready for the week. We're like, we don't have a bed. And she kept finding, she went to the Stone Castle, she went to the nurse's cabin, was trying to kind of shove her way in. And at that point, Lane was a little perturbed because there had been no communication between Lane and Shelly. Her girls did not want her there. Now, most kids don't want their parents at camp, so fine. There was another level because the girls feel like she's always there to check up on them. So it didn't feel like she wanted to be at camp to contribute. She wanted to be at camp to make sure that she was controlling the narrative with her girls. Because that's a big theme in Shelly's life, is controlling the narrative, as we'll find out. Eventually, Lane said, Shelly, you have to leave. We don't have a place for you. Your girls don't want you here. You need to leave. She broke down and cried. Spent 2 hours on the steps of the stone craft cabin, crying, threatening suicide, which we did not take seriously. Kind of the whole global, I'm going to kill myself. I don't have a reason to live anymore. Joe Shelly was comforting her. Nathaniel came down and said, I don't know what to do. I was like, you got to get her to leave. He goes, I know, but I don't know how. Eventually, they left. Then it became the weirdest week that we've ever had. We had a great week at camp, and Shelly caused so much drama, and she wasn't even there. It was unfathomable to me how much time we spent on the phone with Shelly, and she wasn't a part of our camp. And the reason is, Camilla had decided a year ago to get baptized on Friday with a friend of hers. So we said, great. And when a kid says they want to get baptized, we notify all the parents and make sure they can come down and be a part if they want to. So we did what we do, and Shelly wanted her to change it to Wednesday. And we said, no, Camilla really wants to do it on Friday with a friend of hers. They planned this in advance. They've got it all figured out. And Shelly got weirdly angry and dramatic. Carrie Strickland was on the phone with her for an hour and a half one night, trying to calm her down because she wanted Camilla to move it to Wednesday because Shelly had a float trip on Friday that she didn't want to move or give up. So that seems weird to me. If my daughter said, I'm getting baptized in France on Wednesday at 6 a.m., I'd somehow find a way to get there. I'd want to be a part of it. I wouldn't be like, really good at a float trip. But whatever. It became phone call after phone call, text after text. Eric, you need to call me right now. She threatened to go to the NITES board on me. Great, go to the NITES board. I don't have a problem with what we're doing. She threatened to bring her husband down, Larry, and she uses him conveniently when she needs to come get Camilla and pull her out of camp. That's how angry she was. Alexandra Stryker and Carrie Strickland listened to a phone call between Shelly and Camilla late one night. Shelly said, are you alone? Camilla lied and said yes, because we wanted to hear how Shelly talked to her girls. And it was so bad, I had to think about making a phone call. I had to think, do I call DFS? Because I have some responsibilities as a mandated reporter, and I don't want to be thinking about this at camp. I stayed up one night after campfire talking for 2 hours to Mallory and Camilla, the two girls, for 2 hours, just hearing their story about how their mom is. Nothing to call the state on, nothing physically abusive. I mean, a thrown chair, some thrown items, but no, state of Missouri, you're allowed to hit your kid. Can't use a belt or a bat, but you're allowed to slap or punch your kid, not excessively, but you are. So I thought, okay, but I had to think through that. Do I make a phone call? And I decided I don't think there's enough there to make a phone call, and I think it would make it so much worse for the girls if I did, because Shelly's all about the image. The reason she wanted to know if anybody was listening is because when you're listening, Shelly's super nice and sweet, and when you're not, she's horrible, cruel, threatening to kill, which we don't actually believe she's going to kill anybody. But just the threat, I'm going to kill you, is unthinkable. So we finally settled after several phone calls demanding text. Carrie finally talked her off the ledge and said, hey, can we FaceTime you for the baptism? So we did that for Shelly. So I baptized Camilla. Larry came down. The little kids came down. It was great. Shelly FaceTimed. We came home and we're nervous about, okay, what happens now that she's going to be in small group? But she didn't show up. So we thought maybe the whole thing went away. That's what we were hoping. Then Mindy made a phone call to Shelly's doctor, because Mindy has a friend that has stage 4 cancer. She had made a post on Facebook and listed all her cancers. It's all over her. And Shelly's raved about her doctor in California. So Mindy was like, hey, if he's a non-traditional doctor, if he can somehow help, I'd like to make a phone call. So she called. Her friend's name is Michelle. Shelly's real name is Rochelle. Like her clinical, like the doctor would know her as Rochelle. Mindy was driving. She said the connection was bad. And the doctor kept saying, are you asking about Rochelle? And Mindy would say, no, Michelle. Friend of mine, wires got crossed, things got confused. The next thing we know, the doctor's calling Shelly, saying that somebody's trying to check in on her and see if she has cancer. That wasn't the case. Mindy, being a person who hates anybody being mad at her, called Shelly and said, this is what I'm doing. I'm so sorry. You know, she made her apology. Shelly said, okay, great. Everything's great. Love you. Hung up. Then proceeded to make several ominous, threatening Facebook posts after that. And then unfriended us all. So we thought, well, that's weird. What she says and what she does tend to be two different things. And she puts on an incredibly sweet aura. But there was something always off about Shelly for me. I wouldn't have known what it is. Now, I'm not going to clinically label her a narcissist. But at a minimum, there are narcissistic patterns to her behavior. And that's why she makes me nervous. She could accuse me of anything. She could call the state on my license. And I don't put it past her. So that's why I blocked her. I want nothing to do with her. I will not meet with her. I know Mindy does not want to meet with her. That's not good for Mindy's mental health. Carrie does not want to meet with her. We haven't done anything to apologize for. Carrie is stuck in the middle because Shelly's girls text Carrie constantly. I need help with this. Mom did this. And Carrie wants out. Carrie doesn't want to be involved in this, but she keeps getting sucked back in. And then Shelly gets mad at the girls. Why did you tell people? And then the drama starts all over again. I think that's kind of the story. So I wanted to know, because I heard there was maybe a meeting that was going to be called that Steve would mediate between Shelly and I don't know who. My question is, what would be the purpose or the point of that meeting? What is the goal? What are they looking to do? Because as far as we're concerned, we want to be done. We're not talking about her. She unfriended us. If she comes to church here, great. I'm going to try not to talk to her, but we're not going to go out of our way to be mean to her, confront her in any way. She can do whatever she wants to do. We don't want her to be a part of our small group, which makes us sad for Nathaniel. But we just kind of want to, the way you deal with a narcissist is one method is you go gray rock, you blend into the background. You just become a gray rock that nobody notices. Because if a narcissist notices you, they'll target you. And we just want to become gray rocks. That's our theme. If Mindy calls me and is like, I can't believe Shelly put this on Facebook. I'm like, gray rock. Don't do anything. Ignore it. We're done. We're not going to do anything. We're not going to respond. We're not going to think about it. Romans says, as much as it is within you, live at peace with all men. I can't live at peace with Shelly. And it's not me. It's her. That's my story. Now, that's a big story condensed, so if you have any questions, if I wasn't clear on something, let me know what you have. And it makes me infinitely sad for Nathaniel. And if anybody could talk to him, because I won't, because if I talk to Nathaniel, that brings Shelly back into my life. I would love to tell him, you need to break up with her and run. If you like drama, this is what you're going to get for the rest of your life, because this is what Shelly does. It's one drama after another. But I'm not going to do it. So if anybody has a relationship with Nathaniel and can say anything to him, that's what I would encourage. But I get where he's at. He's finally found somebody, and he probably believes her, and they probably have a good relationship to some degree. And so I know it's hard for him. So I really feel most sad for Nathaniel.
I've got a question for you. In the small group area, there was a lot of talk about Shelly not having cancer or going through her treatments and everything. And that come out pretty loud and clear. I met with Carrie, and she says, "Well, I know she's got cancer, but that's just she's not. She didn't believe that she's going through chemo for the new cancer and all that." And so that has got around through the small group, through other people, it, more than just a small group, you know. And so I got all the records and everything, and she does have cancer, and she, you know, has treatments and all that. And so where did that come from?
So we've all had people that have had cancer in our lives. My mom had, my sister has cancer now, my mom's had cancer, my dad's had cancer. The questions came up because of the way Shelly presented things. Number one, she looks great for having cancer. So when you say to people, she has cancer, they go, Amy's mom is a nurse. She was like, I don't know people that look that good that have cancer. Other people have made, not in church, have made comments like, oh, she has cancer, she looks really good for having cancer. In one small group, Mike's brother-in-law had cancer, and Shelly said, you got to call my doctor in California. I had cancer all over me, and he cured me. And I went, that's an exaggeration. Nobody has cancer all over them and comes back. Mike's brother-in-law had cancer all over him and was dead in 2 weeks. So it's just little things along the way. Carrie had offered to take her to her treatments. Mindy and Carrie both, hey, do you want us to come with you to treatments? We can sit with you. No, no. Well, that's weird. Shelly has the same military insurance that LeGrand has because of her husband Larry that she's still married to. It's fantastic insurance. Everything's paid for. So then it's like, well, why is she doing a fundraiser? And then we go, well, probably to go to California and back, pay for expenses. But there are questions about where the money goes. Carrie knows a lot more than she probably should or wants to know. And so there's just questions. We did, and so we just, like, I believe she had or has cancer. I think there's something there. I also believe that it's become an attention-seeking device. She now has Shelly, hashtag Shelly armbands that she passes out. She was going to pass them out of camp. If she had done that at the canteen, I would have asked her to leave. I don't want you to promote your cancer because it links to a GoFundMe page where you can donate. There's no place for that at camp. She didn't because we didn't allow her there, but that was her plan to do that. So I think she had or has some, and we don't even care anymore. The cancer is the least of the problems. My problem is her personally and how she treats people. Whether she has or does not have cancer, we don't care. But there were questions that came up in her mind, like, huh, you know, my mom's gone through chemo. I see what it did to her body, and Shelly has a full head of hair. Cold compress. I looked it up. Oh, well, it's a thing, right? So, okay. But there were just questions that your common sense taps into, like, huh. And that's where that all came from. We, as far as I know, we kept that within our group. Now, obviously, it got out to somebody. But that was just questions between, like, me and Mindy or me and Carrie, Amy. But we weren't talking about it. We weren't telling other people. But I still have questions about what's the prognosis. It just... flying to California, we have great cancer treatments here. It just seems, there are things that strike me as odd. That's it. We don't care about the cancer. We're done with the cancer. We're not fighting that battle. There's enough here for me to say I'm blocking your number. Cancer has nothing to do with it.
And I guess on that, Keaton, so from the information that you had the other day, it did verify diagnosis, but there wasn't anything that verified treatment in there. You may have gotten something else, but from what we've saw, and not to say that it there was or wasn't treatment, but from that documentation, I didn't see anything that verified that. So maybe it was there, but I just don't remember seeing any of that.
If you're interested in podcasts, there's a great podcast called Scamanda about a woman in California that scammed her church for years, blogging about her cancer. Pictures of her in the hospital getting IVs. An investigative journalist started looking into it, and she's now doing 12 years in jail in Texas, still claiming she has cancer when she does not have cancer. It's a fascinating investigative process into how people scam people. I'm not saying Shelley's doing that, but there are some similar patterns. And when you're not in the cancer world, if somebody said, oh, I have this cancer, and started shouting off letters and chemo treatments, and I wouldn't know what they're talking about. And so it's easy to, and I'm not saying Shelley is, but it's easy to hide the truth with all the cancer language. And again, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there's some similar patterns between that case and Shelley's case.
What I've done, I've read the scans and stuff that she's had, and she definitely has cancer. And
okay.
She has, it has come back, and she's had treatments for it. And she's got a different one right now. And so she has been having treatments for that cancer, and I know that to be a fact. And then about Mindy, you know, because there was, you know, I talked with Chris and Amy, and you're telling, you know, like it is, they don't want to have anything to do with Shelley. And they didn't think that she had cancer, or, you know, they knew that she had it back a couple of years ago. And so they really questioned that. And I think your whole small group had questioned that, because I got that from Carrie, you know, meeting with her. And I have listened to the recording that Mindy had called the doctor's office, and it wasn't Michelle, it was Shelley Gregory, and they had to give her birth date and all this stuff, and she said she was from needed for the insurance company information for her last treatments and everything. And the doctor indicated, the nurse did, says, well, let me go and check into this. She comes back to the phone and asks Mindy, let me get your phone number and everything, and I'll get back with you on this information. So Mindy hung up. So a few minutes later, they called back and said, you had just called here and everything, and we're trying to figure out what's going on, and said, is this Mindy? And she hung up on him. So,
okay.
So that's kind of the facts of the conversation.
I didn't know that story.
Yeah, that's what Mindy had with the doctor's office. And so for me, knowing that everybody was questioning her, it was just another thing trying to figure out if she really had it. They wanted to prove to themselves, I guess, what was going on. And so that's really what bothers me, is, you know, a small group question it so much that they would go to that trouble to try to prove it. And it's sad, you know, that, you know, people are coming to church here that have issues. I mean, hey, I know when I was... My kids were teenagers and everything, what they did and stuff. I wouldn't want everybody to know about it. You know, phone calls and, you know, someone listening to conversations and stuff like that, that would be devastating to a parent and everything. And so it's, you know, I feel like that, no matter what a person does and what has happened and everything, we should be a congregation, you know, that really helps and nourishes and helps people in situations like that. You know, and it's hard to me. I'm having a problem with, you know, Chris and I, you know, sit down and talked about all this, you know, and it's put a kind of a stumbling block just because, hey, we just don't treat people that way. And
a couple of other facts, Eric, that fill you in on to help you see our whole picture. Carrie approached one of us, I think it was Brett, who said, hey, the elders need to get involved and help with this situation. Is that you, Brett, that she approached? And so that was...
When was that?
Couple weeks ago.
Yeah, this was, we were having a lunch, and I think she was talking about Brad, because she goes, at your next meeting, you just need to schedule this. And I said, I think you need to talk, you mean Brad, because Brad was chairing at that time. And so she just said, okay, well, I'll talk with Brad. And so, yeah, she just approached me to get something on the schedule.
Yeah, and so we talked about meeting, and I said, what would be the point of the meeting? Carrie's done nothing wrong. Carrie wants out. Mindy already apologized to Shelley. The rest of us haven't done anything wrong except question, but we weren't spreading gossip or lies. As far as I know, this is just what I know. Those conversations were between myself, Carrie, Mindy, and Amy. And that's it. It wasn't the whole small group. We never talked about it at small group as our meeting. It was just in private conversations. We never had a meeting in our small group about Shelley. And so I told Carrie, I said, I know that meeting wouldn't be good for Mindy and her mental health. I don't know what the point would be, because Shelley is always curating an image. Everything Shelley does is to curate an image about her. And that's why Shelley would want to meet, is to protect her image. And I'm not interested in doing that. I'm not interested in damaging her image. But we know enough behind the scenes to know that she has some issues and needs some help. But people with narcissistic tendencies don't tend to seek that help because they don't think they've done anything wrong. I'm assuming Shelley wants an apology from us, but I don't think Shelley would ever
apologize. What she asked us for in the meeting on Sunday, a couple of things. She likes being at this church. She wants to come. Said she wants to be part of that small group, get back to the way it was, heal things, and she wants to clear her name. She's presented us all the evidence of her cancer and wants to make sure that everybody understands that's legitimate and get all that doubt out, and can we help do that, is really what she was asking for. And so it seems reasonable that someone who would like to come to this church and be loved and served here wants to heal relationships, and can we help facilitate that? And so given the information, I guess the additional info that we learned at that meeting with Shelley, and her family came, it's like that's her support network, was kind of they didn't add a whole lot more information, but we're there to support her to communicate, I guess. But she also described it as Camilla feeling very betrayed because folks were listening in on that phone call. And I guess Mallory had text messages with Carrie that had been shared with others. And Mallory's distraught over that. So that's the way Shelley's describing those dynamics. And so, again, feeling like betrayed and wanting to heal those relationships, and she was very open to meeting, and we had indicated the plan to try to facilitate one, and that if folks are going to be here to worship, that seemed very worthwhile and a good goal. And so we were going to focus on Carrie and Mindy and Shelley, and they could each bring spouses or Nathan if Shelley wanted to do that, if that's helpful, to just kind of clear the air and say, can we worship together and hear the apologies that need to be said and all of those things. That's really the bigger picture of what was asked for and what seemed reasonable to do. Yeah. So you've got a significant role to play at the small group, and appreciate what you've shared rounds out the picture quite a bit on the other side of the coin here. But we've got some very conflicting information to try to navigate.
So I've even told Carrie we've got to stop communicating with her girls because it doesn't go well.
Okay.
We get sucked in, and then they get mad at us. They reach out to us for help, and then we try to help or support, and then it just causes more problems. And I said, we've got to stop. And that's hard for them because Camilla and Mallory are teenage girls that need support. Mm-hmm. What happens at home is not what you see on Facebook. Her Facebook posts are odd concerning what we know about the behind-the-scenes stuff. And so I've said, we just need to all stop. Stop. Because we're not helping. You know, at some point, you've got to stop helping. And so I'm not interested in her being a part of our small group. She can be a part of a small group. She can go to this church. I have no problem with that. I don't want to be in a small group with her. Not that Mindy goes to this church, but I think if Shelly continued to go, Mindy wouldn't come. It just raises her blood pressure too much and doesn't want her kids to be around that. But Shelly's welcome to come, and Mindy can make her own decisions. So I'm not saying Shelly can't come to church here. But as a small group, I don't think we can come back and heal from this. And we're done with the cancer. Yes, she has cancer. Cool. We're not talking about it. We don't care anymore. We had our questions. That's not even the problem. So
let me ask you on that, so maybe we can put that to bed.
Yeah.
It feels a little bit like, if I can use this analogy, you get a page one article and the correction is on page 8 2 weeks later. And so we need to do a correction. How do you think we can do that to make sure you felt like there were only 3 or 4 people in those conversations? It seems like it's broader than that. What do you think is a good way to do exactly what you said? Okay, she has cancer, and that's legitimized, verified. What's a good way to get that out? Because that was one of the direct things she asked for. Help her clear her name. And it seems reasonable given the confirmation we have. But what could that look like, do you think?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Do you want me to type up a letter to Shelly from our small group saying
I'm trying to brainstorm to a solution because I don't know what,
and then
know
it's,
what it, to do with that. And you know, we don't have to decide in these 12 more minutes or whatever we have, but there's a very practical solution to look for.
Yeah.
So
one thing the only time I've heard, other than the elders, was when you called me to lunch that one day and you said, I'm sure you've heard, and I said, I haven't heard anything. But just from the stories it said, there was some deception, probably a lot of ways, we don't know about the whole Shelly thing, but just the deception of Mindy. She said she apologized, but did she admit fully to what she had done in that phone call? And so then, is it a real apology? Sincere, that's one.
Right.
And the second thing was just the deception with the phone call where she put on speakerphone so others, I'd heard there were about 5 people hearing, then you just said there were 2. So
yes. As far as I know, it was Carrie and Alexander. Yeah.
And so that was a deception there that was wrong. A lot of things, and just would need to be some apologies done there also.
Well, possibly. Camilla was okay with us listening in and wanted us to be there.
Us,
she wanted
us being
Carrie and Alexander.
Okay.
I wasn't there. It's interesting how, there were a couple of things that probably weren't done right. But there's one person in this drama that's creating all this drama, and it's Shelly. It's not us. We were listening to the conversation to support Camilla and to listen to what's really going on, because the girls are telling us it's horrible. It doesn't seem horrible to us. What you see on Facebook and with Shelly is that she's kind of sweet.
Yeah.
And so what you actually hear behind the scenes is not, it's not sweet at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad we got that confirmation. I mean, I'm sorry that Camilla lied. We didn't lie. Camilla lied. And so no one's here because she wanted our support. See, that's how we get dragged into this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The girls say, I need this. Okay. I even offered Mallory, because she was talking about how she's out now and she wants to heal from this. And I said, hey, CFS will provide you free counsel. I'll hook you up with Sarah Gentry. We'll cover it. No cost to you. She never got back to me. I'm not calling her again.
Okay.
We offered our help. She didn't accept it. I'm out. Because again, we get caught in this loop of come help us, and then they get mad at us. And so,
For doing that. That seemed really good. Mm-hmm. To reach out to Mallory like that, that's good.
Because I try to keep, one thing Shelly does is she triangulates everything. It's a pattern of a narcissist. Amy said no to the cabin for Shelley to stay in, so she called Chris. Chris said, well, didn't you talk to Amy already? Lane said no to camp, so she called Kim. Didn't Lane tell you no already? Shelley texted Ben the other night. Hey, let's get together and talk. Why are you texting Ben? Ben wasn't the one. So what a pattern that I've seen with her is that she triangulates everything to manipulate situations. And I don't want to be a part of that. I try not to, I'm sure I do, but I try not to triangulate with people. I try to keep, it's a dyadic relationship. Don and I can't fix Brett. Don and I can talk about Don and I. And so she continually tries to get in these triangles. And that's what makes me nervous. And that's why I don't want to be, she can have cancer. She can go to church here. We don't want her to be a part of our small group. That's not malicious. That's anxiety on our part. She can be a bit part of any small group. Just, it's not helpful or probably healthy for her to be a part of ours. I'll think about the apology thing, but I also want to know what she's going to apologize for. Because this is a two-way street. So what clarity does she have on her role in this? Because there is one person in all this drama, and it's none of us. It's Shelley. So I'd want to know, what would she be willing to apologize for? And this sounds like a horrible way to do this, because we're trying, like lawyers trying to negotiate a settlement. So
you know, we're trying to look at this on a spiritual point of view. I think this is satanic. I believe that we're in the midst of an attack on the body of this church right now. And like you said, we have people who are not members of this church who are controlling the narrative. If what we heard regarding what Mindy did, she violated HIPAA, there's criminal penalties for that. And, you know, that's a serious situation.
She didn't violate HIPAA. So I'm just
trying to get somebody's medical records under false pretense. That's called fraud.
Well, if someone calls CFS, and I'm not a lawyer, so I could be wrong about this, but if someone calls CFS, let's say Steve and Susan are coming to CFS for marriage counseling, and I'm seeing both of them. Actually, I had this happen once. And then Susan calls and wants to get the records for their counseling. I can't release that unless I get Steve's permission. And so I said to a client once, well, if I can get your wife's permission to sign off on that, then I can release all that to your psychologist. And he never came back because he was trying to manipulate the situation.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, from my understanding, he's not violating. I would be violating HIPAA if I released that information, but it's not violating HIPAA to ask. But then I guess thinking through Mindy was not a part of that. So, anyway.
I would say she's in trouble if they wanted to, you know, and they're not going to do anything.
Right.
You know, so, but here we have non-members, you know, warring with each other. And the answer is, what would Jesus do? I think Jesus would try to mend, to the best of his ability, relationships. You know, when we read the scriptures, we know that even Paul and Barnabas couldn't agree upon John Mark to go with them. And sometimes he had to separate them, you know. So your analogy about Greystone, I never heard that one before, but, you know, it's true. But in the end, Paul says, bring John Mark back. I can do something with that. So it's not like we write people off and just, you know, but if there are narcissistic tendencies, we certainly need to be aware of those things and be able to deal with it. To me, nitpicking apologies is not what we need here. We need people to love each other. I think Shelley's hurt. I think you're hurt. Your small group's hurt. I think the answer is love and prayer and going the extra mile sometimes, turning the other cheek, saying, yeah, you know, they did something to me, but, you know, we're supposed to forgive it and, you know, sometimes move on. So I don't have an answer either. It's spiritual warfare. And
I'd rather not meet. But if there's a way to contribute to this in a positive way, I think We would all like to do that.
Yeah.
But not to have a continuing relationship, but to just be at peace. But sometimes peace means, you know, Dave and I can have peace and I may never talk to you again. That can be peace, but I've forgiven you. There's no hatred. There's no animosity. We just go our separate ways.
If those things are communicated, I think you're right. That is a scenario. But to just hope that we get there is what, you know, being some kind of a catalyst for that healing and haven't figured it out yet. It's 9:26. It's been very helpful for the extra information that you've given. And